listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. Stay tuned for Arab Voices next. Ahlan wa sahlan and welcome to Arab Voices on Houston's Pacifica Radio. Listeners sponsored commercial-free KPFT 90.1 FM with live streaming, podcasting, and online archive of previous shows at both kpft.org and arabvoices.net. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of the show. It is Wednesday, December 31st, 2014. Happy New Year, everyone. I wish you a happy, safe, healthy, and prosperous New Year. كل عام وأنتم بخير. Today on the show, we will talk about and listen to the remarks from various countries, including those of Palestine, at the United Nations after the UN Security Council failed last night to pass a resolution calling for an end to the Israeli occupation of Palestine. But first, let's start with Arab Voices Community Calendar. Students for Justice in Palestine at the University of Houston will hold an event to celebrate traditional Palestinian culture. There will be DJ playing Arabic music, dinner, speakers, dabka, raffle, and more. This event will be held on Saturday, January 10th at 6 p.m. at the Ramallah Club of Houston, located on 3310 FM 1092 in Missouri City. In the wake of the recent events that occurred against innocent children, Islamic Relief Organization will host a fundraiser for children of conflict. All proceeds will go towards helping children afflicted with violence and poverty around the world. The speaker will be Siraj Wahaj, and there will be nasheed by singer Yahya Hawa. This event will be held on Saturday, January 10th at 7 p.m., at the Houston Marriott West Chase on 2900 Briar Park Drive. The Muslim Professional Association will hold an event titled Does Privacy Exist? A conversation about technology, privacy, and speech. The guest speaker will be Nabiha Sayed, a constitutional law scholar and an attorney. She will discuss what, if any, privacy we are entitled to as American citizens, and critical role played by technology in eroding both our privacy and our other constitutional rights. This event will be held on January 28th at 6 p.m. at the Embassy Suites on 11,730 Katy Freeway. The Palestinian American Council will host Fununiyat Palestinian Folklore Troupe in Houston. This group is coming from Palestine and will be performing live Palestinian dabka and songs. And this event will be held at the Stafford Civic Center on 1415 Constitution Avenue at 7:30 p.m. on Friday, January 30th. All proceeds from this event will benefit Gaza. The annual Texas Muslim Capital Day, a day-long event at the state capital in Austin, will be held on Thursday, January 29th. People from all over Texas will attend, both Muslims and non-Muslims. Various sessions on political activism will be held, as well as meetings with state representatives. The Texas Muslim Capital Day 2015 is an opportunity for community members to learn about the democratic political process and how to be an advocate for important issues. And on January 31st, Friends of Egyptian Children with Cancer will hold its annual fundraising banquet. The guest speaker will be Dr. Robert Bast, Vice President for Translational Research at MD Anderson Cancer Center. There will be entertainment, live auction, silent auction, and more. Again, this event will be held on January 31st at 6 p.m. at the Sheraton Suites Hotel in the Galleria. For more information, visit fecchouston.org. And for more details, about any of the events I just mentioned, or for a list of other events, visit our website, and that's arabvoices.net. The United Nations Security Council failed yesterday to pass a resolution calling for a full Israeli withdrawal from the occupied Palestinian territories, that's the land that Israel occupied by force in 1967, including the West Bank, the Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem. Within 2 years, a peace agreement with just terms for lasting peace to be established within 1 year, and called also for a just resolution on all outstanding issues, including the status of Jerusalem, control of water resources, the release of Palestinian prisoners, the return of Palestinian refugees, and so on. Now, the UN Security Council consists of 15 members. 8 out of the 15 voted in favor of the resolution, and they were China, France, Russia, Argentina, Chad, Chile, Jordan, and Luxembourg. 2 voted against it, and that's the United States, of course, and Australia. 5 member states abstained from voting: the United Kingdom, Lithuania, Nigeria, Korea, and Rwanda. Now, even if the resolution had managed to pass the Security Council with the required 9 votes, the U.S. had vowed in advance to use its veto power to stop the resolution from passing. But with Australia and the U.S. voting against the measure and 5 states abstaining from the vote, meaning the resolution didn't get the 9 required votes, the measure did not pass, and therefore no veto was necessary. Again, otherwise the U.S. would have used its veto power, just like it has used it so many times before when it came to anything against Israel. The resolution was brought to the Security Council by a coalition of 22 Arab states, all of whom supported and approved the measure. Jordan pushed for Tuesday's vote on the resolution at the UN Security Council meeting in New York because Palestine has no voting rights at the United Nations. Palestine is only a UN non-voting observer. Let's listen in now to some of the United Nations Security Council member states' official remarks made at the Security Council yesterday after the resolution failed to pass. And we begin with Jordan, the country which holds the rotating seats on the Security Council, or one of the rotating seats now on the Security Council. Jordan is the country that pushed for this resolution. Let's listen in. Of course, the voice you will hear is that of the translator.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you very much for holding this emergency meeting of the Security Council. Jordan has submitted, on behalf of the Arab group, the draft of this special Arab resolution setting a deadline for ending the Israeli occupation and the establishment of the Palestinian state, thus implementing the resolution of the Council of the League of Arab States at the ministerial level, and based on our belief that the Security Council must respond to the legitimate Palestinian rights to live in freedom and dignity in its independent, fully independent, fully sovereign and viable state within the lines of the 4th of June, with East Jerusalem as its capital, living in peace and security within secure borders with all other states in the region, according to the accepted references in this matter, including the various resolutions of this council, including resolutions 242, 338, 1397, as well as the Arab Peace Initiative. Jordan has proceeded in this process in the Security Council, guided by the Arab consensus, and in support primarily of the political decision of the Palestinian leadership, represented by President Mahmoud Abbas. Jordan will remain in the forefront of those who defend the Palestinian cause and all the rights of the Palestinian, of the brotherly Palestinian people in the Security Council and all other international fora, because Jordan has an interest in resolving this matter and realizing the higher Jordanian interests. We had hoped that the Security Council will today adopt the draft Arab resolution, because the Council bears both the legal and moral responsibilities to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which is the crux of the conflict in the Middle East. All elements in that draft resolution were acceptable not only to members of the Security Council, but to the international community as a whole. These elements include the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination and to achieving a peaceful solution that ends the occupation of Palestinian territory, realizes the vision of the two states, resolves the question of Palestinian refugees and other issues justly, and leads to establishing East Jerusalem as a capital of the Palestinian state. The fact that this resolution, this draft resolution, was not adopted will not at all prevent us from proceeding to push the international community, specifically the United Nations, towards an effective involvement in achieving a resolution for this conflict. We will continue assiduous work to resume the peace negotiations between the Palestinians and Israelis within a serious and committed framework leading to an embodiment of the two-state solution within a reasonable time frame, and towards an ending of the conflict through resolving all substantial issues, namely Jerusalem, refugees, security, borders, and waters, according to the acceptable international references and the Arab Peace Initiative in all its elements, and in a manner that completely addresses and protects the higher vital Jordanian interests. The Jordanian position on this matter is very well known, and we have submitted this draft resolution without prejudice to our legal positions, and without this act being interpreted in any way, or the substance of the draft resolution being interpreted in any way as a change in our positions. This draft Arab resolution and the fact that we submitted it cannot be interpreted in any way as a unilateral step. It is a legitimate right of the Palestinian people, which has opted for the path of peace and has resorted to the United Nations as a final solution after Israel has blocked all roads leading towards realizing its legitimate aspirations. The unilateral activities are those that are carried out by Israel, primarily settlement activities and the adoption of discriminatory laws such as the nationality law, in addition to other illegal practices in the occupied Palestinian territories, which every day take us away from peace and threaten the future of a two-state solution. The International Committee must address the severity of the situation in the occupied Palestinian territories and the increasing suffering of our Palestinian brothers in the Gaza Strip as a result of the most recent Israeli war in that strip, and must realize that this situation cannot continue and will push the area towards further cycles of violence and conflict. We must intensify all our efforts. The result of this of our decision here must not prevent us from intensifying our efforts through consultations, negotiations, and discussions in order to achieve a just and comprehensive solution of the Palestinian question, leading to the establishment of a continuous, viable, independent, sovereign Palestinian state within the two-state solution in a manner that protects the peace and security for everybody in the region. We must continue with our efforts until we achieve that noble objective. Thank you, Mr. President.
Next, we will hear the remarks of the representatives of Luxembourg, who also voted for the resolution.
Mr. President, in July of last year, after 3 years of the status quo, the U.S. administration achieved an agreement on resumption of direct talks between Israelis and Palestinians. We all had hope. 9 months later, in spite of intense discussions and the tireless efforts of the Secretary of State, John Kerry, negotiations once again were in an impasse. In the summer of 2014, once again it was war, with the persistent bombing of Gaza for more than 50 days. The ceasefire concluded the 26th of August, put an end to the clashes, but the negotiations to lift the Gaza blockade are still at an impasse. We also saw dangerous tensions on the esplanade of mosques. The frantic pursuit of settlements, cycles of vengeance among extremists, with indeed the real risk of a new intifada. The recent rocket fire in Gaza have shown once again the volatility of the situation for lack of a political horizon. The time has come to create this political horizon. The time has come to take bold and concrete measures to achieve a just and sustainable peace. Israel has the right to live in peace and in security. But it is obvious to us that the security of the State of Israel will depend on the establishment alongside of a State of Palestine that is sovereign and democratic, unified and viable on the basis of the 1967 boundaries with Jerusalem as the capital of the two states. The two-state solution is the only one that is just politically and morally. There is no other alternative. Mr. President, in voting today in favor of the draft resolution presented by Jordan on behalf of the Arab group, Luxembourg has voted in favor of the two-state solution. Two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and in security. We voted in favor of a solution that we advocated during our entire term on the Security Council, a solution that is always among the priorities of our foreign policy. We voted in favor of a peace settlement which meets the legitimate aspirations of Israel and of Palestine. To save the two-state solution, we need to learn the lessons of the past. Israelis and Palestinians will only agree if the international community commits itself in a more determined fashion than in the past, if it sets the framework for a settlement with clear parameters and a specific timetable. That's the purpose of the draft resolution presented by Jordan. In spite of the result of today's vote, we remain convinced that the Security Council can and must play a constructive role in this context, to be up to its major responsibility of maintaining international peace and security. The Security Council must assume a more active role to support and maintain the two-state solution and to put an end to occupation. Mr. President, our vote today is the expression of a conviction, the conviction that it is urgent to act now, the conviction that we cannot indefinitely push back the timelines. Keeping a two-state solution on track cannot be done forever. Today's vote is not against anyone. We're not seeking to divide or to point fingers. On the contrary, it is a vote of hope. In voting for the two-state solution, we are launching an appeal to the parties, to Israeli and Palestinian political officials, but also to Israeli and Palestinian citizens, that they will choose the path of reconciliation and resumption of the talks. We call on the countries in the region and on the international community overall to make a steadfast commitment alongside Israelis and Palestinians so that the peaceful coexistence of two states, the State of Israel and the State of Palestine, will finally become a reality. We regret that it was not possible today to adopt the draft resolution presented by Jordan, but we hope very much that after this vote, it will soon be possible to resume discussions in good faith and to work together for a comprehensive, just, and sustainable peace in the interests of Israel and of Palestine and of the entire region. We don't have the right to fail. 2015 cannot be a new lost year for peace in the Middle East. Thank you.
Next, we will hear the representative of France at the UN Security Council.
President, since the April end of the peace talks, the situation has deteriorated, and we are facing two threats. On the one hand, the necessary two-state solution is about to become a mirage, and the illegal pursuit of settlements undermines the possibility of a Palestinian state. The public opinions in both states, in Israel and Palestine, are both accelerating and is negative. And there's also the matter of the West Bank and Jerusalem. The conditions are set. The stage is set for things to take flame. We know the heart of the problem, the absence of a political solution that reflects the legitimate exigencies and needs of both people, the Israelis and the Palestinians. For the Palestinians, the aspirations for a sovereign and independent state. For the Israelis, guarantees of lasting security. These legitimate needs can only be resolved if there is movement toward the solution that we all know, that is the sharing of territory that allows for the emergence of two states for two people. President, France believes in the possibility of a definitive and fair solution for both parties. We must allow for the means to be present for this to come about. These means are collective. Successive failures in negotiations over the past 20 years recalls to us that the peace process, as we have seen it, must evolve. The parties cannot, for many reasons, take difficult decisions alone that come with the negotiation. The Palestinians cannot bear the burden alone of seeking this difficult peace. After 25 years of negotiations, it is essential that the international community share the weight of these negotiations, which is tied to the historic and political responsibility of the international community. France is determined to give priority to the emergence of a method that allows for a closer support for the negotiations by concerned international parties, complementing and in support of the major role played by Washington, the Arab League, the EU, and the permanent members of this council. This collective effort should be based on an unquestionable foundation that can only come from the Security Council when it comes to giving credibility to negotiations. It is incumbent upon us to establish the internationally recognized parameters for the conflict resolution and settlement that should lead to the satisfaction of the different claims. This council and its members are called upon to fully assume their responsibilities in maintaining international peace and security. President, it is in this perspective that we have endlessly called upon the council to move in order to set a credible basis for peace. We have proposed a constructive, reasonable alternative for the initial Palestinian project so that the Security Council can become a positive actor in this conflict and not a theater of theoretical declarations and successive vetoes. With this positive step filled with goodwill, or rather without this, no credible process can come about. To the contrary, there will be deterioration on the ground, which calls upon us to act without waiting. There's urgency that we act because of the deep need to adapt a method based on the responsibility incumbent upon each member of the Security Council. And it is for this reason that we voted in favor of the resolution that was submitted by Jordan. This does not mean that this text is perfect. We have reservations over some of the terminology as well as the method in which it was presented. We would have preferred, and we continue to hope, that there can be a consensus-based step and demarche that brings together all of the members of this council around a clear and well-known vision of an independent, sovereign, and democratic Palestinian state living in peace and security side by side with Israel, with East Jerusalem as the capital of both states. If the modalities for a fair solution for the Palestinian refugees and security arrangements, including the withdrawal of the Israeli forces, is part of the agreement between the parties, we can and must collectively establish the overarching parameters of these negotiations. We should set a clear timetable for attaining this, because this is essential for credible negotiations if they are to end. The French proposal looks at just that. France regrets, President, that it has not been possible today to reach a consensus on this point and on these points, which should bring the international community together. Our efforts should not stop there. Our responsibility is to continue to hope that before it's too late, we can move forward, and France will thus continue its action. I thank you.
The Russian Federation also voted for the resolution. Let's listen in to its remark.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Russian Federation regrets that the Security Council was unable to adopt the draft resolution, which was to strengthen the generally recognized international legal basis for the Middle East peace process, including Security Council resolutions, the Madrid Principles, and the Arab Peace Initiative. Recent events in the Middle East with new force have illustrated an undeniable truth, that alternatives to a genuinely collective approach to resolving such a complex problem do not exist, and especially that this 70-year unresolved conflict is one of the most serious factors in the destabilization of the whole region. It is a very strong argument in the hands of those who recruit extremists, convincing them that seeking political solutions is pointless. We're certain that in order to step up and reinvigorate the collective efforts in this area, we need not only a greater profile for the quartet with the involvement in its work of the League of Arab States, but also a generally broader involvement in the Palestinian-Israeli peace process by the Security Council. This, of course, would give the process new impetus, would focus the parties on more responsible steps towards a comprehensive, just, and final peace. We cannot share the objections of those who believe that the draft resolution was undermining the prospects of the negotiating process. Unfortunately, last year revealed that this process, how it has gone into a blind alley with its monopolization by the United States and their pullback from the quartet. We believe this to be a strategic mistake, just as casting off our proposals to do brainstorming in the Council in order to determine ways to reinvigorate the negotiating process, including sending to the Middle East a Council mission. Moreover, the conflict in the Holy Land is deepening. Periodically, with increasing fury, violence erupts from both sides. The building of illegal settlements in the occupied territories continues, including in East Jerusalem, undermining the chances for implementing the concept of two states. Mr. President, we're coming to the end of 2014, which the international community has proclaimed the year of solidarity with the Palestinian people. In this year, did we get closer to implementing the legitimate aspirations of the Palestinians? Did we get closer to a two-state solution, or did we get further away from it? Unfortunately, the answer is obvious. The inaction of the Security Council in this area dooms the situation to a dangerous status quo, which we cannot accept. One chance for hope is not enough. We must continue. Thank you.
China also voted for the resolution. Let's listen in to the UN Security Council representative of China.
Mr. President, China supports the draft resolution on the question of Palestine submitted by Jordan on behalf of Arab states. This draft reflects just demands of Arab states, including the Palestinian people, is in accord with the relevant UN resolutions, the Land for Peace Principle, the Arab Peace Initiative, and the Middle East Peace Roadmap, and is also in accord with China's consistent position. We express deep regret over the failure for the draft resolution to be adopted. China is highly attentive to the Palestinian-Israeli question and has always been making constructive efforts for advancing the Middle East peace process. In 2013, President Xi Jinping of China put forward four proposals on the Palestinian-Israeli question. In 2014, Foreign Minister Wang Yi of China proposed 5 points on resolving the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. China supports the just cause of the Palestinian people for restoring legitimate national rights, supports the establishment of a fully sovereign and independent state of Palestine based on 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as the capital, supports Palestine's joining the United Nations and other international organizations, and hopes that Palestine and Israel will resume peace talks as soon as possible, end occupation at an early date, and realize peaceful coexistence of the two states. The Middle East peace process is now in deep stalemate, and the tensions between Palestine and Israel persist. We call upon the international community to redouble effort to help Palestine and Israel to end the cycle of violence and return to the correct track of peace talks. We call upon the International Security Council to effectively assume responsibility for the Palestinian-Israeli question and play a steel role. China is willing to join the relevant sides in the international community in common effort and will continue to play a constructive role in promoting an enduring and just resolution of the question of Palestine. Thank you, Mr. President.
Next, we will listen to the representative of Chad, who was also presiding over the UN Security Council session last night.
First of all, I would like to thank the delegation of Jordan for presenting this draft resolution on the Palestinian question on behalf of the Arab states. In recognizing the right of the Palestinian people to have a sovereign and viable state, in the pre-4th of June 1967 borders, with East Jerusalem as its capital, Chad voted in favor of this draft resolution, which the Security Council, unfortunately, did not adopt. We can only express our deep disappointment and regret at the rejection of this text, which was balanced and moderate, and it should have led to the adoption by all council members. The text would have allowed us to put an end to the interminable cycle of negotiations, which have only made the Israeli occupation permanent and which has undermined all international efforts which could have resolved the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The text does not contradict the negotiating, the direct talk principles between the two parties. It advocates a new framework for negotiations, one which guarantees the active participation of all stakeholders alongside the two parties involved. Therefore, the text clearly defines the parameters for a solution and the mechanisms for security guaranteeing and respecting the sovereignty of the State of Palestine with the gradual withdrawal and integral withdrawal of the Israeli security forces from the occupied territories, as well as the fair and equitable settlement of the refugee question, Palestinian refugee question, and the inherent final status issues. Ladies and gentlemen, council members, in rejecting this draft resolution, the Security Council has once more missed a date with history and has disappointed all of those who are indignant, have been without dignity for many years, without the prospect for a political solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The rejection of this draft resolution also sends a very negative message of encouraging a continuation of occupation, continuing injustice, oppression, and destruction, which promotes a hardening, radical hardening of positions in both camps. So, an opportunity was given to the Security Council to act in order to strengthen the camp of peace in the region and to give to the Palestinians a ray of hope after the failure of direct talks, which yielded almost nothing. International public opinion today is seeing the sad reality that the Palestinian people once more have been deprived of their legitimate right to live in an independent and sovereign state. Given the upheaval in the Middle East and the expansion of violence and terrorism, it is in the interests of all parties, including the Security Council, to find an urgent solution, a sustainable solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Chad remains persuaded that there is no alternative to the two-state solution, independent democratic states living side by side in peace and security in mutually and internationally recognized borders. Thank you very much.
Now, the remarks you heard are for some of the member states that comprise the United Nations Security Council that voted for the resolution last night for an end to the Israeli occupation and the establishment of a Palestinian state within 3 years. Of course, that failed because there were no 9 votes for it. There were only 8, and the United States voted against it, but it had vowed earlier that it would veto it if Palestine got 9 votes anyway. So we want to listen next to the reaction of the Palestinians, and what we will hear is the Palestinian ambassador at the United Nations speaking last night, Dr. Riyad Mansour. He spoke at the UN Security Council after the proposed resolution failed, and this is what he had to say.
Mr. President, I come before the Security Council on behalf of the leadership of the State of Palestine and the Palestinian people, a long-suffering yet proud and dignified people who remain steadfast and fully committed to the achievement of their inalienable rights, justice, and their legitimate national aspirations, including to self-determination, freedom, and independence, and who remain committed to the pursuit of political, diplomatic, peaceful, and nonviolent means for the achievement of these objectives, for which there is overwhelming and long-standing global support. Mr. President, we have endured the passage of yet another year that has inflicted on the Palestinian people more losses and tragedy and the deterioration of the situation in all fronts due to the illegal, destructive, and oppressive actions of Israel, the occupying power. It has been a year that has witnessed the breakdown of yet another political process. Despite the genuine efforts of the United States, with the full support of the League of Arab States and all other major stakeholders, and the good faith efforts and cooperation of Palestine, and the deepening of another political impasse due to the brazen Israeli intransigence, creating a total unsustainable situation roundly acknowledged by all. Despite all this, the Security Council has once again failed to uphold its charter duties to address these crises and to meaningfully contribute to a peaceful and lasting solution in accordance with its own resolutions. As the Security Council has looked on in this year, our people under Israeli occupation endured the further theft and colonization of their land, the demolition of their homes, daily military raids, arrests and detention of thousands of civilians, including children, rampant settler terrorism, constant affronts to their human dignity, and repeated incursions at our holiest sites in the occupied East Jerusalem, in particular, and extreme provocations and incitement, bringing tensions to an all-time high and threatening to ignite a religious war and completely destabilize the situation on the ground. The brutalization of the Palestinian people reached a new apex of savagery with the Israeli military aggression waged against the besieged and blockaded Gaza Strip in July and August of this year. The Israeli occupying forces launched tens of thousands of missiles, bombs, artillery shells, and live ammunition against the defenseless Palestinian civilian population in an inhumane, barbaric, and criminal onslaught that killed more than 2,200 Palestinians, the majority civilians, including children and women, injured and maimed more than 11,000 people, displaced hundreds of thousands, terrorized the entire population, and caused vast destruction of homes, vital civilian infrastructure, hospitals and schools, including more than 100 UN facilities, the majority UNRWA schools, as well as mosques and churches, agricultural properties and industries. All of this was perpetrated wantonly and willfully by Israel, creating widespread devastation, human trauma, and a massive humanitarian disaster. Gross human rights violations and grave breaches of international humanitarian law, war crimes, were undoubtedly committed by Israel, the occupying power. And in the diaspora, the millions of Palestine refugees who remain exiled from their homeland continue to endure instability and vulnerability due to crises and conflicts in the region that have inflicted on them further displacement and loss, with the tragedy in Syria in particular engulfing lives and futures of so many Palestinians. This was the year that brought us to this day, a year that deepened the decades-long suffering and injustice borne by the Palestinian people, and that took us further and further away from realization of the just, lasting, and comprehensive peace we have long sought on the basis of international law and the relevant UN resolutions. Mr. President, it was in this grave context that the Palestinian government, under the leadership of President Mahmoud Abbas, undertook in early September the initiative that has now been brought before the Council. It was an initiative meant to mobilize the Security Council to act, to defuse this volatile situation, to reaffirm the basis for justly resolving the conflict and readdressing this historic injustice, and to provide a political horizon forward that could restore hope to our people that the 47-year Israeli military occupation of their land and their oppression would soon come to an end by delineating a time frame for this end, and that justice, freedom, and peace were within reach. Mr. President, we sincerely thank all of the countries that took a principled stand and voted in favor of the draft resolution. We thank Argentina, Chad, Chile, China, France, Jordan, Luxembourg, and the Russian Federation. And thank also all of the friendly countries that supported us throughout this long process. We express special gratitude to the member states of the Arab group for all of their support, and thank Jordan for its efforts on behalf of the group as the Arab representative in the Security Council, including its tabling and sponsorship of the draft and its call for the vote. We also thank France for its serious efforts at the responsible engagement throughout this process and for its support. I also wish to thank His Excellency Mr. Jean Asselborn, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Foreign Affairs of Luxembourg, for his presence at today's meeting and his country's support. We deeply regret, however, that the Council was unable to adopt this draft resolution, despite 4 months of efforts, patience, and flexibility, and our serious attempts to engage, and despite the fact that the draft reflected the long-standing international consensus on a solution for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. In clear terms, firmly rooted in the relevant Security Council and General Assembly resolutions, this draft resolution reaffirmed the well-known parameters for a just and lasting solution and set forth a clear timeline for negotiating a final peace agreement with strong support by major stakeholders, including the concept of an international conference, as well as a timeline for bringing the illegitimate Israeli occupation to a complete end and for achieving the independence of the State of Palestine with East Jerusalem as its capital on the basis of the pre-67 borders, living side by side with Israel in peace and security, and just solutions for all core issues, including the plight of the Palestinian refugees. Yet, the result of today's vote shows that the Security Council as a whole is clearly not ready and willing to shoulder its responsibilities in a way that would allow for the adoption of a comprehensive resolution and allow us to open the doors for peace and for a just and lasting solution based on international law. It also shows that the Security Council is out of step with the overwhelming global consensus and calls for an end to the Israeli occupation, an end to this prolonged conflict, and achievement of the long overdue the independence of the Palestinian people in their own state. In contrast to the result of today's vote, it is clear that both inside and outside of the Security Council, there is a global consensus on the two-state solution on the pre-67 borders, and that the annexation of East Jerusalem is illegal and not accepted by any single country. There is also a global consensus on the illegality of Israeli settlement activities in all manifestations and the illegality of the Israeli blockade on the Gaza Strip and the need for their immediate end. And there is clearly a global consensus on the legitimacy of the national aspirations and rights of the Palestinian people and the responsibility of the international community in helping to bring them to fulfillment. So we must ask, we ask you, why is it so difficult for the Security Council to act on this global consensus and demand an end to Israeli illegal actions, an end to the Israeli occupation, which the Council has called for repeatedly from Resolution 242 of 1967 forward, and the implementation of the two-state solution in accordance with relevant UN resolutions, the Madrid Principles and the Arab Peace Initiative? Why have the efforts of the Arab group, with the full support of NAM and the OIC and all other friends worldwide, to legislate this consensus through the Security Council as a contribution towards bringing an end to this conflict through peaceful, political, diplomatic, civilized, and non-violent means repeatedly blocked? Why are we facing another Security Council failure as the situation unravels and international peace and security is further threatened? Mr. President, considering the unsustainable and precarious situation that now prevails and the need to act responsibly on behalf of our people to address their needs and national aspiration, the Palestinian leadership must now consider its next steps. And they will meet tomorrow and they will decide on the next steps. We are grateful for the support of all brotherly and friendly countries in support of the just cause of Palestine and in support of this continuing journey to fulfill the inalienable human rights of our people and make peace a reality despite the many challenges and obstacles. Accordingly, we reiterate in this Council chamber the absolute imperative to hold Israel, the occupying power, accountable for its violations of international law, including humanitarian and human rights law, and its violations of UN resolutions. Such contempt must not continue to be excused or tolerated. There can be no excuse for denial of the right to self-determination of another people, as loudly reaffirmed in the General Assembly this month with the vote on the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination, receiving the overwhelmingly support of 180, actually 181 country member states of the General Assembly. The message is clear worldwide. It is high time to end this abhorrent Israeli occupation and impunity that has brought our people so much suffering and that has caused so many crises, sown so much instability and anger throughout our region, and continues to seriously undermine regional and global peace and security. This message has been strongly conveyed in the numerous resolutions adopted once again this year by the General Assembly in all aspects of the question of Palestine. It has also been strongly reaffirmed in the recent conference of high contracting parties to the Fourth Geneva Convention convened by the depository Switzerland. And it has been and continues to be reaffirmed in the motions by numerous European parliaments calling for recognition of the State of Palestine, and in fact that 135 countries already recognize our state, the most recent recognition affirmed by Sweden, which we salute from this chamber. And this message continues to be conveyed loudly by civil society, the world over, with massive displays of support for the just cause of Palestine and the rights of the Palestinian people and the calls for a just and lasting solution. It is thus most regrettable that the Security Council remains paralyzed and unable to act to uphold its own responsibilities in this regard, with all of the implication this has for peace and security in the Middle East and beyond. The repeated request for us to wait and wait and wait while our people are suffering, while our people are besieged, while our land is being colonized, and while the two-state solution is being destroyed and the prospect for peace are evaporating, must understand that such requests are not viable under these circumstances and unsustainable. Those eager to save the two-state solution must act and cannot continue to make excuses for Israel and to permit and thus be complicit in its immoral and illegal behavior. The Security Council must act. We will therefore continue to call on the Council to uphold its charter duties and will spare no effort in this regard in the coming year. The time has come for the international community to act collectively and firmly to end the occupation that began in 67 and to allow for the independence of the State of Palestine with Al-Quds Sharif as its capital and a just solution for the plight of the Palestine refugees on the basis of Resolution 194, Numero 3, and for the ultimate realization of justice, freedom, and peace. The Palestinian people and the world can no longer wait. That message, despite the regrettable outcome today, is especially clear. Mr. President, in closing, I wish to thank you personally, Mr. President, and the friendly delegation of Chad, for your speedy response to the call for convening this meeting and vote, and to reiterate our deepest gratitude to all Council members who righteously and honorably supported the draft resolution. We also take this opportunity to express our appreciation to the non-permanent members of the Security Council that will end their tenure tomorrow: Argentina, Australia, Luxembourg, Republic of Korea, and Rwanda, and congratulate them on their efforts and service on the Council over the past 2 years. And I thank you very much, Mr. President.
That was the voice of the Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations, Dr. Riyad Mansour, speaking at the UN Security Council right after the proposed resolution failed, a resolution that was rejected by the UN Security Council to end the Israeli occupation of Palestine. Senior PLO official, Palestine Liberation Organization official, Dr. Hanan Ashrawi, said right after the vote last night, quote, The UN Security Council vote is outrageously shameful, unquote. And Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, leading figure in Palestinian civil society, one of the founders of the independent political party, the Palestinian National Initiative, and member of the Palestine Liberation Organization's Central Council, said last night, quote, "Those countries that voted against or abstained on the Palestinian resolution at the Security Council, regardless of how weak and compromised it was, are sending a strong message. They oppose the two-state solution and cannot be considered peace brokers," unquote. So what is the Palestinian leadership's next step? So after the failed attempt at gaining a UN resolution, the Palestinian leadership decided to move on and pursue joining the International Criminal Court. And as a matter of fact, a few hours ago, PLO chairman and president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, signed a document requesting membership in the ICC to pursue charges against and prosecute Israelis for genocide, crimes against humanity, and war crimes. Diana Bhutu, Ramallah-based analyst, former advisor to the Palestine Liberation Organization, and policy advisor to Ashabaka, the Palestinian Policy Network, said today, quote, "While it is not clear that the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court will ever seek to change Israel, to charge Israel for its extensive war crimes, if the reports are true, this latest move by the PLO and President Abbas is an important step towards holding Israel accountable for its past crimes and preventing future ones," unquote. Osama Khalil, assistant professor of United States and Middle East history at Syracuse University's Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs and co-founder of Ashabaka, said today, quote, "The long-overdue decision by the Palestinian Authority leadership to sign the Rome Statute reflects their frustration with a failed peace process, the Obama administration's willful indifference, and Israel's continued occupation. Yet joining the International Criminal Court is only meaningful if Abbas actually uses it to hold Israel accountable for its repeated violations of international law and Palestinian rights. Otherwise, it will be little more than a symbolic gesture that will not change Israel's behavior or force Washington to engage in a meaningful way," unquote. The next steps are yet to be seen. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. A special edition of The Prison Show is coming up next. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Have a happy, safe, healthy, and prosperous New Year. كل عام وأنتم بخير. And until we meet next Wednesday, peace on earth.
أنا حزين لحتى أموت عليها. حطيت أماني مع أولادي حتى لما بموت إنه يأخذ شوية رمح طول يوم بالقبر.
هي أغلى من الوطن يا حبيبي. هي أغلى من الوطن.
لا يمكن أنسى بلدي ومحول بلدي ووطني بجميعه من حدوده إلى حدوده مهما كان الثمن ومهما كلف.
رجعين لك رجعين يا بلادنا رجعين. رجعين لك رجعين يا بلادنا رجعين من روح عيل صغير ونرجع ملايين. رجعين.
During the month of December, KPFT asked people just like you listening at home, work, or in your cars to make a secure online contribution to KPFT.org. When we first tried this simple one-minute campaign last year, you helped in a big way. This year, we really need your help to make this a success. We're putting 2014 to bed, and KPFT could really use your help to surpass our total from the previous year. Just visit KPFT.org to donate now as the clock ticks down. Your pledge online will mean a great deal. Thank you. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Great music moves your heart and soul, and you can make a difference by donating something, whether it's moving or not, an old car, RV, motorcycle, tractor, or boat, to KPFT's vehicle donation program as this year comes to a close. Since 1970, KPFT has moved your heart and soul with programming that matters to you. Just call 1-855-KPFT-CAR or visit kpft.org to help out now. Your tax-deductible donation before the new year gets you going, and it makes such a difference at the station that is the heart and soul of our community. So just move on over to the phone and call 1-855-KPFT-CAR or visit kpft.org, and we'll make it easy to donate to the nonprofit radio station that you love. This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, kpft.org online. Thank you.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains